When Adam sinned in the garden, there were two major effects. There was a penalty and a tyranny that came into place. The penalty was death. By one man sin entered this world, and death by sin. The slavery was sin became the ruler, sin became the master. So we were now servants of sin, slaves of sin. So we're under a penalty, we're under a tyranny. Now the wonderful thing is this, the moment you're converted, both of those things are dealt with. How are they dealt with? The penalty is dealt with like this. He died for me. The tyranny is dealt with like this. I died with him. Now let's go back through that again. How do I get out from under the penalty of death? The penalty of sin. Because he bore the penalty on the cross. He took my guilt, he took my shame, he took my sin, he bore it away, he satisfied God's justice, he died for me, the penalty is removed. But what about this tyranny? My connection with sin. I'm the slave. Sin is the master. But you see, when Christ died on the cross, I died too. And when you die, your links to everything around you are severed and cut. And so when you died with Christ, your tie to sin was broken. It was severed. My chains are snapped. The bonds of sin are broken. Yes, in the sense that on a daily basis that slavery is not there, but the actual link to sin as slave to master is finished. So the penalty is ended as he dies for me. The tyranny is ended based on that as I die with him. Now then we have this extra thing thrown in chapter 6 verse 6 of Romans. Our old man is crucified with Christ. It's not quite the same thing as saying I died with him. What's really being said is this. I die with him in the sense that through death I am delivered from sin. But when it says the old man is crucified, it's thinking of the connection I had, not so much simply with sin as the master, but it goes right back to the beginning, my connection with Adam. And it's really saying this, I'm delivered by dying with Christ. But when we're thinking of the old man being crucified, we're saying not I'm delivered, but I'm judged as connected with Adam. So I die with Christ means I'm delivered in connection with Christ. The old man is crucified means I'm judged in connection with Adam. Many years ago, sitting in the Ulster Hall in Northern Ireland, Mr. W.J. Nesbitt was ministering the word. He said, what is the old man? It's not my sinful self. It's not my lower self. It's my former self. It's the old person I was as connected to Adam. You see, in the previous chapter, if you've got Romans 6 open there, you can cast your eye back to the previous chapter, and the whole previous chapter's point is that there are two federal heads. Obama is the federal head of the United States. When he speaks, he speaks for the United States, whether you like what he has to say or not. That's what he does. He got voted in. He's the federal head. So when he speaks, that's America's view. Adam is the federal head from whom the human race comes. But it's a fallen race because he's a fallen head. The Lord Jesus is the federal head of the new race. As in Adam all die, so in Christ, those who are in Christ will be made alive. It all depends who you're connected to. And when you're not saved, you're only connected to Adam. But when you get saved, your connection, your spiritual connection to Adam is severed and broken forever. You're now spiritually connected to Christ. Now the physical link with Adam is obviously still there because I'm made of the same dust that he was made of, and if the Lord doesn't come, we'll die. physically, I'm a human being in the human race, but spiritually, I don't have a link with Adam anymore. Scripturally, we talk about being in Adam. The moment you get saved, you get out of the railway carriage that says in Adam, and you climb onto a new train altogether. In Christ. You're not in Adam if you're saved. You're in Christ. And because you're connected to this new man, you get all the benefits of the new man. Connection with Adam means death. Connection with Christ means life. This is wonderful positional truth. Whether you've got the flu or you feel depressed, doesn't make any difference. If you're saved, this is true. So our old man is the person we were in Adam. Do you remember in Ephesians 4, it was talking about our former conversation. Because we were in Adam, we were like Adam. We sinned like Adam, we thought like Adam, we behaved like Adam, we had a conversation, a behavior, a manner of life, just like Adam's. That's what we were, as connected to that fallen race. That's the person I was. But the flesh isn't so much thinking of the person I was in Adam. It's thinking of this thing that's inside me. It's the evil principle within. So when we're thinking of the old man, we're thinking of my old standing. That is my connections. How I stood in relation to the world. I stood as in Adam. That's my position. And when I got saved, God finished with my position, my standing in Adam. You've been singing it for years. Number 446 in the Gospel hymn book. My Adam standing, he destroyed, and set my soul above the ruins of this wretched world. So boundless is his love. A new creation now is mine. By grace in it I stand. In resurrection power upheld by God's almighty hand. Good old Albert Midney. So when a person gets saved, your old connection to Adam is terminated by God. How did it happen? Well, it happened at the cross. See, when you think of crucifixion, I don't know whether you've ever thought of this, there's a difference between crucifixion and death. You say, well, surely once you're crucified, you're going to die. Yes, that is true. But the concept of crucifixion is a concept that revolves around judgment and condemnation. In other words, when someone puts that cross on their back and heads out to Calvary, they are finished. They are a condemned person. They're not dead yet, but they're as good as dead because they're now publicly going to be executed. So it's the whole idea of sentence. You will die. We are sentencing you to death. Crucifixion. Now, the wonderful thing is this. On the day that Jesus died, God passed sentence on Adam. Passed sentence on a lot of things at the cross. The prince of the world was judged. We were crucified to the world, so on and so forth. But our whole connection with Adam, our old man, was crucified with Christ. Our former self came to a brutal, judicial end. That's a wonderful thing we should rejoice in. Because if you're connected with Adam, you are heading for eternal destruction. For in Adam all die. But in the cross, my connection with Adam, my old man, my former self was ended. God says it, and I believe it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. And when you get saved, you're basically agreeing with what God did at the cross. You're saying, hallelujah, there never was anything good about Adam. I wish I never was connected to Adam. Adam was a rebel. Adam brought death. Adam brought rebellion. I don't want to be connected with Adam. Yes, I agree. And so when you get saved, you're saying, I'm done with the old man. So God terminates it, but you and I in conversion, we repudiate it. We renounce it. We say, yes, the old man. We have done with the old man. Now come over to Colossians chapter 3, please. See what he's saying there in verse 8. He's telling the Christians in Colossae to put off all these things like anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and so on. He says, now, on what basis are we going to do this? Put off all these things because, he says in verse 8, seeing that ye have put off the old man. He says, put off the characteristics of the old man because you have put off the old man himself. Put on the characteristics of the new man, verse 12. Put on humility and meekness and long-suffering. Put on the characteristics of the new man because you have put on the new man. What we are to be hinges upon what we are in Christ. Be what you are is the teaching of Colossians chapter 3. Be every day working out in your experience the characteristics of the new man on the basis of the fact that that is what is really true of you. That's what really happened to you there at conversion. It's positional truth. My spiritual link with Adam is gone, and I'm now linked with a risen man who has dealt with the penalty, he's dealt with the tyranny, and I, through his grace, having put on the new man, can live that out daily in my experience. So let's just double back through this. The old man is my former self. By that I don't mean the person that used to go to the pub necessarily, or some were thinking of, oh, I used to live a terrible life. No, it's my former self connected to Adam. It's the standing I used to have. See those boys and girls at your school? In university? That person you sit opposite next to, or you operate next to, or whatever? They're in an entirely different situation to you. They're in an entirely different position to you. They have no connection with Christ. They have only a connection with Adam. That's why they're going to hell. They're related to the wrong person. There was a man in the Old Testament called Mephibosheth. You know what his problem was? He was related to the wrong person. He was related to Saul. Because he was related to Saul, he was an enemy of the king. Because we're related to Adam, we're an enemy of the king. But there was a wonderful day when David said, I want to show kindness to somebody from the house of Saul. And from a far distant place called Lodibar, a place of no pasture, a place of distance, a place of disaster, he took him out of that situation. He says, you come right here into my palace and eat at my table. You're in my family now. Your connections with Saul, forget all that. You're here now. That's what happened when we got saved. God says, there you are at a distance, in Adam, connected to the wrong person, connected to the biggest rebel that ever walked on planet Earth, the ancient father of the rebellious fallen human race. I want to sever that connection. I'm going to do it at the cross. I'm going to pass judgment on that connection at the cross. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. I finish with Adam at the cross. Now then, I'm going to link you to a new man. I'm going to link you to Christ. So the old connection we had, my former self in Adam, it's replaced. The old man's crucified. Now I'm a new man. And I'm connected with a new man. We tend to emphasize in gospel preaching the death of Christ for obvious reasons. And we sort of give the resurrection a cursory glance every now and again. And it's very difficult to explain this to an unbeliever, and I'm not criticizing anybody that doesn't mention the resurrection when they're preaching, but as a believer, it's a wonderful thing to get hold of the concept of the resurrection. Because when you're facing death as a Christian, you're looking at the last enemy, you're looking at the old enemy, you're looking at the remnants of what went wrong in the Garden of Eden. But you're no longer spiritually connected to the person who brought this into play. Death by one man. You're now connected to Christ. And because you're connected to someone who's already been through death before you and come out the other side in triumphant, glorious resurrection, because you're linked with him, the very same thing's going to happen to you. The Bible says this. Because he lives,
we shall live also. Even our very bodies will be redeemed because of our link to a risen man. Wonderful. Now, here's a little thing to remember. The flesh, on the other hand, although we have crucified it in the sense that we agree that it's rotten, that sinful principle within it is as rotten as can be. There's no reformation for it. There's no improvement for it. We agree. It's utterly to be condemned and repudiated. Yet God leaves it in position. He leaves it within us. When you got saved, your flesh was not improved. This is so fundamental to get hold of. If you think that, when I got saved, I tidied myself up and I made myself a better person and now I'm a Christian, you haven't got the first idea what salvation is. God is not the least bit interested, speaking reverently, in improving what you are in your sinful self. He's not patching that up. He says, curtains to the flesh. The flesh cannot be improved. The carnal mind, that fleshy mind, it's enmity with God. It's in my flesh dwells no good thing. There's no improvement for it. It's condemned. Neither has it even been removed. You say, oh dear. And well, how am I ever going to get through to heaven? If I've got this evil principle within me, and it's warring against me, how am I ever going to... but you see, there's a wonderful new thing happened when you got saved. Not only was your spiritual link with Adam dealt with, but God has put a new nature, a new disposition within your very soul. It's the Holy Spirit regenerating power within your soul. The very life of God, the very moral nature of God, we're partakers of the divine nature, the very moral nature of God in that sense has been infused into you. A new disposition has been implanted in your soul. A new nature, a new heart, a new disposition.
I'm just reading a book called Seen and Heard at the moment. So it's an account of the work done in Scotland by James McKendrick. Oh, what a thrilling story of people getting saved and ringleaders of gangs and drunkards. Just the most amazing story of the revival in Scotland at the end of the 19th century. And how, you know, people that were just blackguards and just monsters, how the grace of God came into their lives and totally and radically changed them and cleaned their mouth up and revolutionized their homes and their marriages. This is not self-improvement. This is not trying to be good. This is God bringing new life into a situation, birthing, as it were, this new disposition within the soul. So you have within you a battle going on. You have the flesh, that unchanged, unimproved, not removed evil principle that's not gone away, still wants to do what is wrong. But you have this new nature, this new disposition. Not just your conscience. No, you have the very life of God within your soul that longs after Christ, that longs after the truth, that longs after holiness and righteousness. And as we abide in Him, and as we feed upon the Word of God, and as we walk as He walked, and as we depend upon His grace daily, not just living by a bunch of rules, but living the new life of Christ within our soul, so we will overcome the flesh. In the Old Testament, the greatest picture of the flesh is a nation called Amalek. Always attacking from behind, always causing difficulties, the flesh. And one day, there was a great battle fought with Amalek. And while the battle was going on down in the valley with Amalek, which is a picture of you and I on our pilgrim journey home to heaven, battling with the flesh, how do we do it? In our own strength? By getting up every morning and pumping spiritual iron? Up on the hillside, there was a man called Moses. And he had his hands in the air. But he wasn't able to hold his hands up very long. So two other men stood next to him. Aaron held onto this hand, and Hur held onto the other hand. And he was up there And if his hands dropped, Amalek started to win. And if his hands went up, Israel started to win. And down in the valley, of course, they weren't holding their hands in the air. They were holding a sword in their hands. They were battling. And so the sword in the hands of the people in the valley is a picture of the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And Moses up on the mount is a picture of the risen Christ interceding for us. And so with the sword of the Spirit and with prayer and intercession and the mediating high priestly work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the battle with the flesh can be won. Wonderful truth. So this is positional, factual, actual, true of everybody. No matter what happens on a daily basis, that's done and dusted. This over here, the flesh, that's a daily reality that we have to overcome. How? Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't stand up to the flesh in the sense of, I will not sin, I will not sin, I will not sin, I'm never going to sin again. How many times have you said that? And then you fall flat on your face. It's not I will, it's not willpower, it's His power. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, I hope that's been somewhat of use to you. Let's close.